Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. My name is Kevin Acey, Hunter's beat writer for the Union Tribune. Jay Posner, sports editor. Jay, I just noticed the backdrop behind me. It's got a lamp. It's very white. It's the best spot for me in the room here. It's about to start storming, evidently, Jay, because Padres and Rockies will not play until tomorrow. And then a double
maybe
Wednesday. Yeah, maybe. Weather, it's coming. It's not here now, but it's coming. And I'm going to be real honest at the outset, Jay. Generally, I like to know who the Padres are playing, who the pitchers are, taking a little look at the opponent. I know one thing about the Rockies. They stink. Who's pitching for them? So I could talk about the Padres. If anyone wants to talk about the Rockies, that'll be Jay Posner. How are you, Jay?
I'm okay, Kevin. I know that Sensatella was supposed to pitch tonight against Denelson Lamet. So we'll see if those are the pitchers again tomorrow. I did very quick research and saw that tomorrow night at game time, it's supposed to be 42 degrees with a chance of 40 to 50% chance as of now of rain. And that's after it snows all overnight and in the morning. So there's nothing like Colorado weather I don't even know. I'm assuming you like to pack for a trip to Colorado, especially in May. It's like you bring shorts and you bring a parka. That's pretty much it.
I was prepared for this, and it's what you say about tomorrow night, man. Tomorrow night's gonna be a long night. That's tonight was like a blessing. All right, there is no chance that you're playing. We're gonna call this thing by noon. Tomorrow night's one of those where you show up at the ballpark at 2 and you might leave at 2 because. Yeah. It could start. It could stop. They could stop because they think it's coming. It's Colorado. It never comes. You don't play. I've been here before where you don't play for like an hour and the rain never comes. And then the doubleheader on Wednesday. And, yeah, I don't know. Obviously, I haven't had a chance to talk to anyone since the postponement, what they're going to do, whether Denelson Lamet will throw his 3 innings, because that's what you should probably expect from him. Or because, you know, even though they wouldn't say it, it certainly seems to me that Yu Darvish was on schedule to go tomorrow. And do you keep Yu Darvish on schedule since he's the guy who's been giving you, you know, 7 innings and the guy who's been giving you 7 innings?
And the other thing is, what does the cold weather mean for Denelson Lamet's elbow? Is that is that anything that they would rather him not pitch in weather like that? I mean, not that you want anybody pitching in weather like that if you can help it, but Darvish certainly, as a veteran and pitched at Wrigley and all over the world, basically, I'm sure is more used to that sort of weather than maybe a guy who has elbow issues. So maybe they throw Darvish then and throw Lamet in one of the games Wednesday. Tomorrow it looked like the chance of rain was supposed to decline through the night, so maybe they wait and play at 9 o'clock or something. Colorado time and then turn around for the truncated doubleheader on Wednesday. The Padres haven't had to do any of this so far this year.
The Rockies have had to do it a bit. I was on a layover from Pittsburgh, coming back from Pittsburgh, and it was snowing, and I thought, oh, that stinks for the Mets. But by the time I'm here, it'll be fine.
I'm not sure there's ever a time when it's fine in Denver. But, hey, that's one of the things that goes into it. The Rockies do stink. I think they're 12-22. Does that sound? I had it up here a minute ago. They are 12-22 with a -24 run differential. They've 3-7 in their last 10. Although 2 of those wins did come last week against the Giants, who were there at Coors. So it's like anything else that we talk about all the time. Anybody's capable of beating anybody. But I guess. We can talk about the weekend with the Padres in San Francisco. Pretty depressing for the Padres and their fans for the first couple of days there. Friday night looked like nothing was going to happen. All of a sudden, a couple of quick home runs and the game was tied. And then they end up losing anyway on a home run given up by a guy who, I mean, let's be honest, we may not see again this year. That certainly didn't look good for Kayla. The way that he left the game. Saturday was a disaster all around, and yesterday was great. I mean, Chris Paddock, Brian Weathers pitched great. Tatis homered. Cronenworth, that looked like the exact same pitch that Cronenworth hit off Trevor Bauer for a home run, like a breaking ball right on the inside corner. Right
in the inside, yep.
It sort of knee to thigh high, and he turned on it and hit it a long way out to a woman in a kayak.
So, right now, Johnny Cueto is their kind of pitcher. Yeah. That's right. He grew some pitches to those guys. He's not blazing right now.
Where do you want to start with the weekend? You want to start with what was bad, or you want to start with what was good?
Well, we might as well start with yesterday. It's the most recent thing, and I guess it's also what you sort of anticipated. I mean, that was a box score that looked a lot like those box scores in the circus of 2020, because that's mm-hmm. what 20 felt like. Every day it was like they're doing something new and different, and five different guys have two or three hits, and oh look, Tatis went yard again. It's amazing how often I went back and looked at all of Tatis's for a story, and it was like boom boom, they just come in bunches, and it's just mm-hmm. that was fun. That's what the Padres were about.
You don't see many balls land where his home run landed either. That was a bomb.
I had to go back and look at it, and I underestimated. I said it went midway up the bleachers. It was closer to two-thirds.
It did take a bounce in the bleachers. So I think where the woman actually got, or the guy caught it, that couple caught it, I think they were a few rows higher than where it actually landed. But when he hit it, it was sort of like, oh, my gosh, where is that thing going?
So you have to really barrel some balls. Like, I don't think there's any doubt, at least early on, the new ball has changed things on certain balls that you hit. I'd love to be in Cincinnati, let's say, which mm-hmm. is Fox, and see what's happening there. I haven't looked. But there have been plenty. There have been a dozen times where I've been fooled. Not that I'm some genius, that far from it. But I have a lot of fly balls, and you don't get fooled. But this year I have. But you see, when you do get a hold of a ball, just haven't done it a lot, they go. So I don't know. It was also very warm. It was unseasonably warm in San Francisco, and the mm-hmm. does do different things there when it's warm. The rare times that it's warm, especially in May, I thought, you know, there was just a lot of things yesterday where you said they fed off each other. They slugged 7 extra base hits. Okay, so they're capable. But like I said, Johnny Cueto is their type of pitcher right now. He's good. He's crafty. But they'll make you pitch, and they'll make you come to you. Right now, they're struggling with the fastball. As weird as that is to say, like when I was doing the research the other day for my newsletter, Jay, I like, am I right? Am I actually looking at stats? Are they this horrible at fastballs in the zone?
Right.
Hosmer is amazing hitting fastballs. But Grisham is good. Almost anybody else right now is just hurting. So it's funny about baseball. There's so many games. Yesterday, the Giants have a terrible bullpen, at least when I've watched them. And Johnny Cueto's their type of pitcher. So I don't really – look, you're the big momentum guy. They got to keep up the momentum. And it's the – you know what it is? It's the first thing that Jake Cronenworth said. It's the first thing that Jace Tingler said. This is done. We have to do this again tomorrow.
Well, and it's all you have to do is go back not even 2 weeks. It was the 28th of April – that the second game in Arizona, they scored 12 runs that night. And it was sort of like, wow, look at this. This is what we can do, you know, and maybe this will open the floodgates and we'll start doing this more. And then they came home and, you know, we know they've really struggled at home hitting, and they came home and they did beat the Giants 2 out of 3, but they didn't exactly pound the ball all over the yard that game. And then they scored, you know, 7 runs in 3 games against the Pirates. Who are never going to be confused with, you know, the 71 Orioles, who had 4 pitchers win 20 games, to pull that one out of a distant past to show how old I am. So I think, you know, look, momentum in baseball, it's such an old, it's not even a cliche. It's so far beyond a cliche that momentum's as great as the next day starting pitcher. There is no next day starting pitcher today. We'll see what happens tomorrow. It'll be, you know, if they do play, it'll be freezing. How does that affect anything? But it'll be a mile high. I mean, I've given up trying to predict how this stuff is going to happen. And look, the Padres need to have more games like yesterday. You know, it's funny, yesterday, you say sort of interesting things happened there. That's the ballpark where last year in September, they had a walk-off as the visiting team.
So, Grisham.
Right. So once you've seen that at Oracle, I guess you pretty much feel like you can see anything. And, you know, we saw a position player, Darren Ruff, pitch yesterday. Right. I always liked that. And
especially when you're throwing the knuckle.
He's got the knuckleball going, and he was grabbing it and pitching it. And so, hey, I mean, Wade Miley threw a no-hitter over the weekend. If that something, someone like Wade Miley throws a no-hitter, you know, anything can happen. But so speaking of pitching,
yeah,
I only got a chance to see a little bit of Chris Paddock yesterday. But tell us about what Paddock looked like and how things changed for him, you know, coming back off of, what was it, a 12-day break.
Old Chris Paddock for three innings. And look, I played it up. I played it up in three stories yesterday. because it's significant to the Padres if that is the Chris Paddock you're going to get. I mean, it's huge. Now, it was for three innings. He acknowledged he was getting winded after three. But, of course, the Padres would have us believe he didn't throw for 12 days. So, anyway.
okay.
But nonetheless, he didn't pitch for 12 days. And he throwing gas, and it was, he was intense. He was fired up. So he was winded. So, okay, next time he comes back. But I'll tell you what, he was in trouble in the third inning. And look, if you have Buster Posey coming up, the hottest hitter in the major leagues over the last 2 weeks, Brandon Belt, who also has seven home runs, hit his seventh the day before, and you're Chris Paddock, who has given up multiple runs in at least one inning of each of your starts, you could be thinking to yourself, it's going to be 5-3 in a second.
Right.
Boom! He went old school Chris Paddock and blew fastballs through seven in a row after missing with a change to Buster Posey to fall behind 2-1. The change wasn't bad. He actually landed some curveballs yesterday. But the fastball, wherever he wanted it, or at least that's what it looked like to those of us watching, and that's what start after start for 5-6 starts in a row in 2019 was like. To me, just as important, Ryan Weathers comes in. Another three shutout innings. And I've been saying this for a while. Sure, he may have to start. It's been hinted to me, and it's been saying, I feel like as a swing man, his value is through the roof. A guy who can come in, obviously, or you would think he's not going to. Maybe if it's Wednesday, he could do a couple innings. I don't know. But, you know, he can be the guy to piggyback for Denelson Lamet. He had to the guy to piggyback yesterday for Chris Paddock. I thought that was monstrous. The guy has like a 0.8 ERA right now, and he's been put in all sorts of positions. Yesterday was pretty low stress, but to me, Ryan Weathers was maybe the second biggest story of the day.
And the thing about Weathers was he built up from the first time when he piggybacked with Lamet. Great I think point. He threw about, what, maybe 15 more pitches. I don't have it in front of me, but somewhere in that range, and he still looked strong. I did see more of his outing. He still looked strong.
He did look strong. Yes, he could have kept going.
Right, at the end. And it was interesting because I was listening on to the broadcast driving home with Jesse Agler and Tony Gwynn on the radio when he struck out, when Paddock struck out Belt to get out of that one inning. And they talked on the radio about the same thing that you were saying, that was Paddock throwing fastballs. And they were happy to see it as well, and I'm sure the Padres were the same way. Like, if he could put his fastball where he wants it, he's such a different pitcher than we've seen erratically. And that's why this whole idea of people being frustrated with Chris Paddock and trade Chris Paddock and we don't like Chris Paddock and all this stuff. Chris Paddock is still a young pitcher, has not had that many starts in the big leagues. It just seems like it's so early to be down on a guy like that, because, you know, he's the guy that you trade a guy like that, and in a couple of years you're looking at a potential. I'm not saying he's Corey Kluber where he's going to win two Cy Youngs, but that's the kind of guy that comes back to haunt you for 5 or 10 years.
That never happens to the Padres.
No, never at all. So, but speaking of starters who did not look so good, Blake Snell on Friday night couldn't throw strikes, even worse than we've seen previously, and Joe Musgrove did not look good on Saturday. So pick a starter, Kevin, and tell us what happened with Snell. And Musgrove has not really been great the last couple, and Snell has got to be driving Tingler and Rothschild and the front office completely bananas right now with his just sort of erratic control and inability to get, you know, to get out of the fifth, you know, get past the fifth inning, basically.
Let's start with that one because there's so many reasons that it's confounding, and start with the idea that his stuff is so good, right?
Mm-hmm.
And invested to get him. So you're expecting that this is a guy who's supposed to be, if not you, Darvish, because, you know, you didn't expect that right now he'd be giving you seven all the time, but to give you five. And I'm telling you, it's just amazing. Now, he did give up four runs, but it was the first time he'd given up that many runs. And
right.
Austin Adams came in and hit another guy. And, you know, but nonetheless, blood's on Blake Snell. But, you know, we're used to around here guys going five innings. That's mm-hmm. what we're used to, right? All those
years.
But 12 hits and six runs.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, Blake Snell is doing it with one or two hits and two runs.
I know.
He does get himself out of trouble because he has stuff. You nailed it. You could just say he couldn't throw strikes. Yeah, that's a huge problem. But it's confounding because he does have periods of absolute brilliance and the stuff is amazing. And I did go back and I looked. And the amount of takes that they clearly are not swinging on, and not because they know what's coming, but because they pretty much know they can't hit it. And yet, here's the guy out again at 4 2/3 innings.
You know, I wondered about watching Snell in an earlier game, and the same thing with Austin Adams. There were times where when they throw their sliders, and that they both have such great sliders, but most of the time, it does not land. A lot of times, it doesn't land in the strike zone. I mean, in fact, the pitch that Adams, I think it was Longoria, got the two-run hit off him, it was because Adams kept missing because Longoria wasn't swinging. And it's like, you almost want to, if you're the manager of the other team, you want to tell the batters, don't swing, because make them put that pitch in the strike zone. And it looked like the Giants did that against Adams that night. Longoria got to 3-0. He took a slider on 3-1. It was basically ended up in the middle of the zone. And I'm sure he figured, he's going to do that again because he doesn't, you know, he's not going to walk me. And sure enough, he threw a slider to the exact same spot and Longoria was able to hit it. But you wonder, and it's obviously easy to sit there and watch on TV and say, why are these guys swinging at those pitches? But I wonder if that's an approach that teams will try to do a better job of against guys like Snell and you know, Adams is on a short term. But Snell, it looked like that was the case the other night, where they just decided, hey, we're not going to chase those pitches.
And why would they?
Right.
Well, you're right. Like, a lot of times it's like, I mean, anybody who watches enough baseball and sees what those pitches do, you know that it's not just that easy. But in situations where you know that Blake Snell struggles, he's a starter, you can, you know, it's a process. You're facing a starter, and just like it is for him when he's facing a team, and their approach to him was fantastic. And that is one thing. I want to see how the Giants are doing in August with all these veterans.
Yeah.
Veteran lineup that knows what it's doing. Joe Musgrove, to my naked eye, looked, you know, better. It was a little bit like, oh, this is weird. What's happening? He's getting taken deep here. And then the Padres were very pleased. Joe Musgrove was very candid. He was very pleased. To me, you know, the guy has so many pitches and he's trying to mix them up. And I don't know, maybe the pitchers or the hitters are thinking along with him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not smart enough to know, does he need to mix them up more and do things in different spots? But, you know, those guys hit some good pitches. They really did. After he said that, I went back and looked again. I was like, yeah, okay. Those weren't in the middle of the plate.
No, I thought the home run was it seemed like that was a mistake. But I do think you're right about a couple of the other pitches. And maybe, you know, sometimes guys hit good pitches. I mean, we see that, the Padres – well, they used to do that, but no, I mean, sometimes that just happens and your pitches get hit. So I wouldn't be as concerned about Musgrove, but it does seem like a couple starts in a row. It'd be good to see him against another team. I would assume we'd see him against the Cardinals. I mean, it's hard to say what's going to happen with the rotation, but you would think he would be in line to pitch against the Cardinals when the team comes back to Petco this weekend. Chris Paddock, probably the same way, that we'll see both those guys over the weekend against the Cardinals. So that'll be interesting to see against a different opponent.
Right. And it'll be as we wrap it up here, it will be interesting to see as Paddock builds up. These are the things that we're going to be looking for in the future here, and how Weathers is used. I mean, while it's not, hey, as good as, hey, we have five healthy guys who are all dealing, Paddock coming back, they're confident they can build Nelson Lamet up. That's going to be a complication for a while. Weathers pitching well, and then you got to see how Miguel Diaz does. Can he follow up what he did against the Pirates with another three solid, heck, maybe even four solid. Heck, if Miguel Diaz comes in every once in a while and gives you two good constructive innings a week, that's a good weapon to have, right? I think that they're actually in pretty good shape right now. Obviously not as good as if you had five guys dealing. And it'd be a heck of a lot better. Can you imagine the strain it would take off if Blake Snell could go six innings?
Yeah, I know.
But compared, I'm just thinking, compared to where we were a week ago, or week and a half ago, so many questions, it does seem like things are getting better on the pitching staff.
I would say so. And I still think the concern is, and I know we need to run here, but the concern is the offense. And they still need to have, you're not going to score 11 runs every day, but they still need to be more consistent in terms of the games where they score, four, five, six instead of, one, two, three.
And what's great is we, for one reason, if it was 80 degrees here, we'd say, well, we can't really pay attention to what's going to happen in Colorado with the offense. But now, since it's going to be like 39 degrees, we're not going to know about what the offense is doing until they get back home and they play the Cardinals, who, by the way, I believe begin the day with the best record in the National League, because the Padres beat the Giants yesterday. The Giants went into yesterday as the best record in the National League.
That is correct. The Cardinals are the only team in the National League and one of only two teams in baseball at .600 for a winning percentage. So that'll be good. And we will talk to you on Friday, and we'll go over whatever happens in Denver. Who knows? And we'll look ahead to a long homestand.
Yes.
When you get back, it's got to sound good to you right now.
Thanks, everybody.